This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Welcome to the Fun Kids Science Weekly then. My name is Dan, I am your curiosity companion, I guess. Thanks for giving us a listen. You see, every single week on the show, we learn about the most amazing and mind-blowing things that are out there in the universe. Now, today, we'll talk about the gigantic rocks that are shifting and quivering under your feet. Also, we'll investigate whether we can make your heart any better. And I don't mean, like, kinder, nicer, more compassionate. No, not that type of heart. I'm sure yours is fine there. I mean stronger. You know, better at pumping all your blood. We'll have a look at that in a little bit. And also, our special guest today is a bee expert, and we'll talk to her about why they're so important day to day in our lives. First, let's catch up with Sean and Robot from the Fun Kids Breakfast Show. They're not in the studio, though. They're aboard the SS Shawnee McShawnface. See what they've done there. Today, they're trying to go even quicker.
Sean Science Around Ships.
Hello, it is Sean and Robot, and we are back out enjoying a lovely, peaceful day on the SS Shawnee McShawnface, our very own ship.
The best boat in the world.
That's a hovercraft, mate. I mean, it's a really clever way to get about. I mean, there's no SS Shawnee McShawnface, but let's ask our pal the Boatodex to tell us a little bit more about hovercrafts. So it says here that a hovercraft is one part boat, one part airplane, and one part helicopter. Wow, I didn't know that. It traps a cushion of air underneath itself and then floats along on top of it. And hey, get this, Robot. The air cushion holds it high above waves and land obstructions, which means it can travel on land or water.
And if you are in a hurry.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Apparently, they come in all shapes and sizes, from giant passenger ferries that can carry hundreds of people to smaller beach rescue craft and one-person fun machines.
I am a one-person fun machine.
And that is exactly what you are, Robot. No one is ever going to argue with that.
So how come they are going much faster than us?
Well, if you remember, ships have to push through water, which resists the pushing. That's called drag.
Drag is certainly a drag.
And drag means the speeds tend to be quite low because it takes a lot of power to do all that pushing. Big passenger ferries can't go much more than 30 miles an hour. But hovercraft, they aren't in the water. They're on it, which means no drag. They use less fuel. Commercial hovercrafts can get up to 35 miles an hour, while small one-man hovercrafts can do 70 miles an hour.
Really is fast, although I think it's just going off.
And because it doesn't have to go into the water, it can travel to places that normal boats find tricky, like swamps and icy glaciers.
So how does it work? It's levitating above the ocean, like a weird magic trick?
Well, it's that cushion of air, isn't it? Let's find out more about how that works. Here we go. The Boatodex says there's an engine which powers a big fan pointing downwards and fans pointing backwards. The one pointing down creates the lift to hold it above the waves. The others help it to steer. The air is held in place by a rubber skirt. The cushion of air is called a plenum. Sometimes the skirt is made in sections which overlap, which help stop air from escaping.
So the fans are what makes that noise. They are pretty noisy.
Yeah, the noise is a bit of a downside. And if you're on board, there can be vibrations too from the fan, which, you know, that might make the journey a little bit uncomfortable.
I think vibrations might make my screws come loose. I hate it when that happens.
See, I prefer being on our nice quiet boat. Another disadvantage of hovercrafts is that they might be okay when the sea is calm, but on choppy waters, they can't keep the cushion of air in place, so it isn't safe to sail. They can't cope with large waves on water or slopes on land.
Uh-oh. Maybe hovercrafts aren't as cool as our boat after all. We can sail in any weather we like.
Yeah, see, in some situations, it looks like they're great, being able to travel on land and sea and getting up some speed and that. But I think I'm happy enough on the SS Shawnee McShawnface.
Me too.
So we're going to find some calmer waters. We'll see you guys soon.
Sean's Science Around Ships, with support from Lloyd's Register Foundation.
Find out more at funkidslive.com/ships.
You can learn loads more from Sean's ships and go back aboard the SS Shawnee McShawnface for free on your phone or tablet. Download all the episodes from the Fun Kids app. Get them wherever you get your podcasts from, you know, places like iTunes, and you can have a listen at funkidslive.com. So we're chatting to a star of a brand new theatre show that's perfect for your whole family who's trying to save species in just a sec. First, it's time to spin the shout-out wheel we've got in the Fun Kids studio, where we see which person who has left the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review on the iTunes podcast store this week is getting a shout-out. There you go, the wheel's spinning round and round. It's spinning. It's quite a long spin. It's not settling. There we go, it's settled finally on Backflip JR. Hello, mate. Thank you very much for saying hello and leaving the show a review. Leaving some nice words on there as well really means a lot. I'm glad you're enjoying it, and I'm really happy that you've come along for this ride as we travel all around the universe to find out some weird and wonderful stuff. If you want a shout out on the show, by the way, that is really the only way to get one. Just head to the iTunes podcast store, find the Fun Kids Science Weekly, and write us a review. Leave some nice words, drop 5 stars, that always helps, and obviously remember to leave your name so then I can see it on the iTunes podcast store. And next week on the show, I might say hello to you. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Now, our guest this week is one of the stars of a brand new play, which is not only trying to make you laugh and have a good time, but also it's aiming to save a whole species in your back garden. It's called Me and My Bee. It's touring the UK this year. Josie Dale-Jones, hello.
Hello.
Now, first question, why do you think that putting on a play will help save the bees?
For us, it's about raising awareness. So we saw a lot cropping up in the news about bees and the plight of bees, and we thought that maybe we could use what we do to do something about it. And hopefully, the more research that we did, the more we started to love bees. And so we thought if we can share that, hopefully people all around will start loving bees as well. And so we started a bee party to make it all more fun, and then stay on that word party, and we also are setting up a political party.
So what messages did you see online? Why do you love the bees so much? What are you trying to get across to people that will kind of make us be more careful about the bees that are out there?
So there are lots of facts about bees themselves. For example, they have facial recognition, which we thought was incredible. They can count to three, and they're really smart. So they do things like they won't pollinate the plants in their own back garden. They'll go further afield because their garden are the emergency rations. And so the more we found out, the more we were like, wow, they're really incredible. It doesn't matter how small they are, but they do so much. And then we started to research the effect that they have on us and the work that they do for us. And they pollinate a third of all of the crops that we eat. And they're the main pollinators. And without them, there are pictures of what the supermarkets would look like. And there would be no food for us at all. So it's as much about humans as it is about bees, really.
Just two very quick things. Firstly, this counting to three business. Now,
yeah.
It's amazing, right, that bees can count to three, but also, like, I can't understand why they can get to three but not four. Do you kind of get that?
Yeah.
It's like, if you can get to three, just keep counting. It doesn't change. Also, talk to me more about the food that's in the supermarket then. What do we eat every day that bees are vital to getting to us?
So anything kind of, well, most fruit and vegetables, strawberries, avocados, apples, carrots, all of that kind of stuff. And then there's lots of, they don't pollinate wheat, but lots of other cereals. So anything maybe as part of making a bread up or part of making your roast or whatever it is, that's also part of it. And I guess as well, it just, you know, the pollination also matters for other animals as well as us.
And what are we doing then that's harmful to the bees? Why is it so important right now that we try and save the species?
So that's all very complex, but there are basically there's a number of things that are contributing to the bees' decline, and one of the big ones is pesticides, but that is something that we thought that we would leave to some other people to deal with. So we focused on climate change, because the warmer that the Earth's getting, the longer they stay out when they should be hibernating, and they hatch too early and there's no food for them. And then there is also urbanisation, which is another one that we really kind of try to pin down, because we're destroying their habitat. So all of the fields that have wildflowers and things like that in kind of city areas are being replaced with buildings. And so in the show, there's a love story between a bee and a flower, and the bee goes on a mission to try and find the flower, but she has disappeared. And when he finds her, there is a building in her place. That is our main message, because the one thing, the small thing that we can do is to go out and plant seeds. And so at the end of the show, everyone gets given a packet of seeds to go and plant in their back garden or to scatter around the city. And that just helps feed the bees to help feed us.
The climate change, I think, is a really interesting thing, because when we picture bees buzzing around outside, it's always quite hot outside. So it's in the summer. So I guess most people think, well, if the world's getting hotter, this is only better for bees because it's more time for them to be outside finding food. But you're saying there's not actually any food for them to eat out there because it's too early.
Yeah, so the thing about the summer's getting longer is that they become overworked. So they're working for too long. And also, a bee's life is only 6 weeks. So, that's worth bearing in mind. But they're basically being overworked because the summers go on for longer. And then when they finally hibernate, or when a new bee hatches, say it's at the very, in spring, the bee hatches, but because spring comes a little bit earlier now, or it gets warmer earlier, they'll hatch before the plants have grown properly, and that's when there isn't any food for them.
Now, you did briefly mention this just a second ago, but just give us a little bit of advice. The main thing that we can do to help bees right now that's really simple, that we can go out into the back garden with.
Yes, go out with seeds, packets of seeds, and just spread them all over the place. The more flowers, the better. The more flowers, the more bees, and then we'll all be happy.
Last question.
Yes.
What are your opinions on wasps?
Oh, well, that's a tricky one. I don't think they're as bad as we all think they are, but they're not doing the work that the bees are for us, and they're not fluffy. I think wasps will sting you and they'll survive, and bees stinging you is a huge sacrifice, so it's kind of up to you to make up that, but
I think we're both team B. Thank you so much, Josie Dale Jones, for coming on the show. The production is Me and My Bee. It's touring all over the UK until the 30th of June. Josie, where can we find out more?
At www.thisegg.co.uk, or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @thisegg_.
Perfect, we'll see you there. Thanks, Josie.
Thanks very much. Bye.
It's time for this week's Dangerous Dan, then, where we take a look at some of the most mean and evil things in the universe. Today, we're going underground to have a look at what happens when the rocks under our feet move. You see, the world is made of tectonic plates. They're different patches of ground, massive rocks that fit together a bit like a huge jigsaw puzzle. Now, there are 7 main tectonic plates, and since the dawn of time, these colossal rocks, they've moved. The plates have shifted every now and then. At one point, every country in the world was connected in one gigantic lump, but they moved. Now, they're mostly settled now. We've got our 7 continents, but occasionally they shift from time to time. And picture it like this. Imagine closing your fists, touching both the knuckles together so they slot in between each other and rubbing them from side to side. It might start to feel hot. It might hurt. You might get to feel a bit of friction. Now, that's what happens. Instead of your fist, though, it's humongous slabs of rock with countries and oceans on top of them. And when they start to shift, that's when you have earthquakes and new volcanoes push through the gaps in these plates to the surface, and they form. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, and at most it's by around a centimetre a year, but it's enough to cause the whole ground to shake and quake, to cause some terrible, dangerous disasters, when literally the earth under our feet is moving. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. We'll get one of your science questions that you've sent to my page at funkidslives.com answered by our expert in just a sec. First, let's catch up with Professor Hallux, one of our favourite geniuses on the show. He's trying to fix your body to make you better. And today, we're trying to get you a new heart.
Hallux's Physiology Fix-Up.
Professor! Professor! That's the doorbell! Again!
Gosh, that's annoying! Just as I was working on my new and improved human heart!
What is it? The new collection of spores and fungi I ordered?
Much more important than that, it's my double pepperoni pizza with extra beetroot! That's the sixth delivery today!
You should put a revolving door in. Might be quicker.
Great idea, Nanobot. In fact, it gives me a great idea for my new heart.
Oh dear, what did I say? I hope he doesn't involve pepperoni.
Inside our heart, we have things called valves, which only open in one direction. Imagine how much faster the blood could whiz round if the valves were evolving. I'll get on the case immediately.
I'm really not sure that's such a great idea. The heart is made the way it is, so it can do a very special set of jobs. You can't just change the design of the heart without making sure it'll still be able to do those jobs.
Yes, yes, of course. Physiology is fundamental. Organs and systems in our bodies have a number of jobs to do, and they are able to do all these jobs because of the way they are constructed and the way they work with other parts of the body. But it doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement.
Okay, program your design into the computer and let's see if it hits the target.
I'll do it in a heartbeat. Ha! Did you get it?
Loading physiology file.
Hearts do a number of very important jobs. Job one, oxygen is needed by all the organs and tissue in the body. Hearts receive blood rich with oxygen and pump it around the body.
I think my heart, with its revolving valves, will do a brilliant job.
Physiology fail.
Uh-oh.
Job two, when the oxygen has all been used up, blood returns to the heart and the heart pumps it back to the lungs to be reoxygenated.
Physiology fail.
I don't understand it. Pumping blood is one of the main functions of the heart, and my new invention can pump it in any direction you want. It can pump it this way and that way.
Physiology fail.
And either way, it's a fail. Blood should travel in one direction only, like a racetrack. If it could go backwards, then blood without oxygen could end up back in the organs, and that would make you feel very poorly. Or blood which already has oxygen could end up back in the lungs. Cardio chaos.
I suppose you're right. Well, I might have failed in making a more efficient heart, but there's lots of people who use their knowledge of physiology to get more out of their cardiovascular system.
March, set, go.
Athletes. Sometimes they can do simple things to improve their performance. The heart is a muscle, and so the stronger it is, the more powerful it is. So it takes less energy for it to pump all that blood around. Regular exercise helps the heart muscles to grow strong.
And did you know that beetroot on your pizza might help athletes?
Haha, of course! Researchers have found that beetroot has a chemical in it that means the body needs less oxygen than normal to do the same work, which means muscles won't tire as quickly.
Was that your stomach, Professor?
I'm afraid so. I think I'd better eat my pizza before it goes cold. That rumble's got me thinking about the digestive system. Maybe I could have a crack at designing a turbo tummy.
Just concentrate on your pizza, Professor.
Hallux's Physiology Fix-Up, with support from the Physiological Society. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Hallux.
Now, remember, right, if during the week you're told something about science, maybe by a teacher or your best mate, that you just don't believe and it's niggling at your brain, maybe you think the fact is a little bit off, and maybe it smells, you know, like a broken down submarine, you know, just a tad fishy. Well, I can help you figure out whether it's true or not. All you need to do is to get to my page at funkidslive.com, write it down, send it over as a message, and I'll try and ask our expert Tom for you. This week's question comes from Aaron, who is 7, particularly interesting for what I do. Why are radio waves invisible?
So radio waves are a type of electromagnetic wave, and another type of wave is visible light. So it's actually fundamentally the same thing. Where it differs is its frequency, or its wavelength, because they're very related. So a radio wave has a very large wavelength, but on the other side of the spectrum, a gamma ray has a very small wavelength. Now, our human eye is only trained to see visible light, which is a small band on that spectrum. That's because of evolution, because we don't need to see radio waves. Other animals that might be a danger don't emit radio waves, but they do reflect visible light, and so that's why we see them.
So two questions I've got. Can we train ourselves to see radio waves and different waves?
Well, we use radio telescopes to look into space, but we can't still see the radio waves ourselves. What we do is we translate the data we get into our point in the spectrum, so into visible light.
And are there any animals that can see radio waves?
Sure, about radio waves. Lots of animals can see ultraviolet waves, UV light, which is a slightly higher frequency than visible light.
And why do they need to see UV? Why have they evolved that way?
Well, UV light can get through the Earth's atmosphere, so it does reflect off certain objects, which is why they need to see them.
It's time to talk about all the big science stories in the news this week. Thousands of people looked to the sky on Wednesday night as a super blue blood moon pierced the air. This was rare, right? Because it was a mix of two unusual rare things. First, the moon was at its closest point in its orbit to Earth, which made it look massive. And also, it was the second full moon of the month, which isn't normal, and it's called a blue moon. Also, scientists, they've taught killer whales to mimic human words. Researchers discovered that the orca are one of the only creatures that can hear a human noise and recreate it. So with this, the scientists, they taught the whales a whole new range of words, like Amy, hello, bye-bye, one, two, even three. And a few whales can mimic this, and they make the sounds through their blowhole. And finally, staying under the sea, scientists say that plastic is the biggest threat to the future of our ocean coral reefs. More than 11 billion items of plastic were found on a third of coral reefs examined near Asia, and this abundance is causing harm to the fish who try and eat it. They get caught in it, and also to the reef itself, which is a living thing. We need to treat it well. So I don't know, maybe just have a glass of water next time you're thirsty. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly, and we're catching up with our bacteria friends Benny and Mal right now, who are deep under your skin, looking in all the crooks and crannies of your body. And today they're asking a question that I scream out loud every time, pretty much, I try and make food in the oven. Why do we feel pain?
Get ready for some brain-teasing fast bars with Benny and Mal, with support from the Nuffield Council on Bioethics.
You're right, Benny here.
And I'm Mal. As you know, me and Benny have been having lots of fun imagining all the cool ways we could change our bodies. And it turns out you lot have been doing the same.
That's right. Now, different people will look at things in different ways. Some may think, that's brilliant.
Others, though, may well be a little more unsure.
Yeah, I was getting to that. Okay, right. Against the clock. Who's on the line today?
Hello, my name is Samuel. I would like it not to hurt when I fall over.
No one likes pain. It's horrible and can make us feel very upset. A world without pain would be brilliant. Think of all the people in hospitals right now. If we could put an end to all of that suffering, I know what they'd say.
Inclined to agree with you there, mate. And if we don't feel pain, we could run for like 100 miles without worrying about the blisters. We wouldn't need cars, would we? There you go, another benefit. One that's good for the environment too.
Hold up, mate. You wouldn't feel the blisters, but they'd still be there. In fact, you might end up injuring yourself in all sorts of ways. Pain is the body's way of warning us that we have harmed our body.
That's a good point. Sometimes we need to feel things. It's part of what makes human beings, well, human. And if you didn't feel pain, you might not be able to empathise. That's understanding why other people are upset when they get hurt. You could even end up hurting them by accident. Is that what we want?
It certainly blurs the lines, doesn't it? It's a brain-busting body bamboozler for sure.
Sure is. Catch you next time.
Brain-teasing Fast Files with Benny and Mal, with support from the Nuffield Council on Bioethics. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Benny and Mal.
You can catch up with all our Benny and Mal dilemmas and adventures for free on your phone or tablet. Get to the Fun Kids app, have a listen through your favourite podcast space like iTunes, and you can catch up with them at funkidslive.com. That is it for another episode of the Fun Kids Science Weekly then. We are back next week with more questions answered from the deep, dark depths of our weird and wonderful universe. And I guess you can spend the next few days before a new episode is out catching up with all of our brilliant Fun Kids Science series. You can do that on the free Fun Kids app, through all your favourite podcast places, and over at funkidslive.com. And you can listen to Fun Kids all over the country on your DAB digital radio, on your phone or tablet, on that free Fun Kids app, and as always at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.